Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, do you realize that when it comes to abortion, obviously you hear the other side saying it's a woman's right, it's a woman's choice, it's reproductive health care, all these great phrases. But do you realize that there are young girls out there that are being forced to have an abortion? They're being forced by their parents, although maybe well-meaning, but parents forcing a young teenage girl, school counselors taking a young girl off for an abortion maybe that she doesn't want. We're going to be talking about that topic today, and joining me are two wonderful friends of mine, experts on this issue. We have Alan Parker, president and founder of the Justice Foundation. He is a brilliant lawyer. He actually worked with Norma McCorvey and Sandra Cano to try to the row and doe of those cases to try to bring their cases back to the Supreme Court to get it reversed. So he's been working on this project that we're going to talk about today, and also joining him, a consultant for the Justice Foundation, Allison No Griffin. So welcome to my program.
Thank you, Janet. It's great to be with you.
Well, of course.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks, Allison. So Allison, I always like to start with the girls, okay? Let's hear from the women first, okay? Because, you know, the lawyers, they can get complicated. So let's start with the women first. And Allison, what got you involved with being a consultant for the Justice Foundation and specifically on this project of the Center for Stopping This Forced Abortion?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. Thank you for that. Well, what was really hard was last year we had a forced abortion, and you know, when most of the time our Center Against Forced Abortion, we work directly with pregnancy resource centers, and what we do is we give them letters, the legal resources, equipping them on the laws, educating them about how to prevent forced abortions. If a girl comes to their center, again, like you mentioned, whether it be the woman who's a minor and is getting pressured by her parents saying, "I'm kicking you out of the house," or if it's the father of the child who says, "Get an abortion because I refuse to pay child support," whatever it is. And so for the history of CAFA, the Center Against Forced Abortions, we work directly with pregnancy centers. But we had a forced abortion that happened last summer, and that's really how I got involved, because I so empathized with the girl that was being forced by her parents, and she didn't really know what a pregnancy center was. And, you know, at that point, she probably thought it was Planned Parenthood. And so we obviously love the work that pregnancy centers are doing. And so I got involved because I just imagined myself in her age, and how do we get people in high schools, in colleges, in youth groups, in, you know, sports, girls and women's sports. How do we get the pro-life people there to know when they're the first ones on the ground to probably hear of an abortion, saying, "Hey, did you hear, you know, so-and-so's mom's making her get an abortion, or she's going to pull her out of volleyball," you know, whatever it is. And so that's really how I got involved with being a consultant for the Center Against Forced Abortion.
Right. That's great. And so, Alan, what is the legal thing here? What are the legal resources? And if someone does hear of someone who's being forced to have abortion, it doesn't have to be just be a minor child. It could be a young woman who her boyfriend, her husband, someone is basically pressuring or forcing her. What are the legal resources that you've developed now to help them?
Well, thank you, Janet. That's a great question. Because you mentioned earlier in the program, the slogan of Roe, "It's a woman's choice." Well, as we've collected the testimonies of thousands of women hurt by abortion, we discovered that once you make abortion legal, one of the damaging things about it, in addition to killing a child, in addition to damaging women emotionally, in addition, you may get a woman who's forced to have an abortion. Because once it's legal, there are three major kinds of forced abortion that occurs with great regularity in America. Number one is adult parents forcing a minor child to have an abortion. That's what Allison was talking about. And we deal with that all the time. And much of it is hidden because the will of the girl is just broken. But that's illegal. All three of these major kinds are illegal. One thing every member of your audience should know at the end of this show, forced abortion is illegal everywhere in America. And we have legal tools on our website that you as an individual can help stop a forced abortion. Number one, parents forcing a daughter to have an abortion. Number two is the adult male forcing an adult woman to abort his child. She may be very happy. They had sex. They were a boyfriend, girlfriend or something, maybe even married. And the man says, we can't have a child at this point. You're getting rid of this problem for me. They don't usually say that way, but he said, get rid of this. And they may force them. They may use guns. They may have coercive techniques. Like one I remember, you know, normally if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, they might have participated in some illegal activity, like doing a drugs and something, or like just smoking marijuana in a state that's not. And I'm not approving those things, but a man would say to a woman, if you don't have this abortion, I'm getting out and I'm notifying CPS and they're going to take your kids away from you. Some sort of extortion, or I'm not going to pay a penny of child support. So number three is human trafficking or prostitution. And generally we have to get the police involved in that. But the first two, we have legal tools on our website, a Dear Parent letter that stops about 95% of abortions once the parent or other adult, it could be the boy's parents sometime, forcing that minor girl to get an abortion. Once they know it's illegal, 95% of the time they stop. And then we have a Dear Father of the Child letter, and we have a Dear Police letter, and Dear School Counselor letters, and Dear Social Worker, that if you hear about a forced abortion, you can call 911. Like sometimes we get the call. My parent, that one that Allison talked about, we got the call actually from the father of the child, who was also a minor, and we were being notified that she was in the car on the way to an abortion clinic against her will. Well, then you got to call the police. You can save a life, but it helps to send the police this letter because most people in America don't know forced abortion is illegal. So all, and we have a Dear Student letter. Allison can talk more about that, because students at both the high school and the college level, they have special needs and special problems.
Right. Well, you know, just the other day, I was interviewing Reverend Joseph Parker. He pastors a church in the Mississippi Delta. He's very involved in the pro-life movement. Matter of fact, he's trying to raise the money for a mobile pregnancy unit, because in his area, there's no pregnancy resource centers. And he is very familiar with your work, Alan. And he told me in the midst of the interview that just recently he got a call from New York, even, of someone who was being a teenager, was being forced, you know, taken, like you're saying, to the abortion clinic. And he told them where the resources were. And that baby is alive today because of this letters and people having access to the information. So he was singing your praises on my program just the other day. So it was so coincidental that now we're actually here talking about it. But Allison, talk to us a little bit more about the high school students, because I think they're the ones, I think, in the biggest jeopardy for this, because besides the dear parents, we have these school counselors who, people have to realize this, your child's school counselor can take you off, take your daughter off for an abortion from school and bring her back. And then she comes home to you and you may not even know your daughter had an abortion. Yet that same counselor, if she's not feeling good, sick at school, can't even give her a Tylenol if she starts spiking a fever, but they can take her off and have that abortion. So tell us a little bit more about those high school students.
Yeah, so I was working with Students for Life, and they're a great organization. I just love what they're, you know, raising up a pro-life generation. But I was in a conversation with them, and we were trying to promote our Center Against Forced Abortion, and we actually did a regional training for them, I think last year. And, you know, I thought the training went well, and then they actually messaged me after saying, You know, we have about 40 to 50 young girls that reach out to us on social media every week. And they said about 80 to 90% of them are all being pressured or forced into their abortion with the exact examples that we give in our letters. And so that's when Alan and I put on our brainstorming cap saying, you know, we can't just rely on these girls even getting to pregnancy resource centers. How do we get the news out that forced abortion is illegal in the high schools, in the colleges? And so we developed a Dear Student letter. It's a joint letter with the Justice Foundation and our legal background and knowledge, as well as Students for Life. And so what we basically did is we developed a letter where, we basically encourage the girl that she is not alone. I think that's the biggest problem is that they feel alone. They feel like they have to do what their parent or, you know, whoever is pressuring them into this. And then we basically explain what pregnancy resource centers do. Again, I feel like most, even when I was in high school and I wasn't pro-life, I didn't know what a pregnancy resource center did or what they can offer. So we explain in an exhaustive list of what they can do for them and how to find a pregnancy resource center near them. And then of course we equip her with her rights because, you know, when you're in that age and you're so moldable, you might not realize you're being pressured. And so making sure that we give her examples saying, hey, this is what your mom might say, or this is what your boyfriend is saying. And hopefully it'll just click in her mind. Wow. I do have new rights as a mother. And even if she is leaning towards getting an abortion, she might realize, oh, this is actually wrong and illegal, and it might wake her up. And so we're excited that we developed this letter, and we're working with Students for Life and how to get these on college campuses, high school campuses, and really hoping that that some more lives are saved.
That's right. Great. And of course, Alan, this also puts the abortion clinic on notice too, doesn't it? Because technically, the abortion clinic is not supposed to perform an abortion on a woman or a young girl who doesn't really want it and is being pressured or forced at that point. I mean, if this gets revealed to the clinic, aren't they supposed to say, oh, we can't do the abortion? And how does that work?
You're absolutely right, Janet, that in order for any medical procedure to be performed, there must be the voluntary consent of the patient. And that's one of the fundamental principles in this area. Unfortunately for all of us, voluntary abortion is legal in America because of Roe and Doe. So we're all working to overturn that because no one should have an abortion. And we want to offer women the alternative of a safe haven law and where she can simply give the baby to the state within a certain period of time after birth without having to pay for an abortion. It's free. And then loving families can adopt the child. But what you're saying is so true that the abortionist must make sure they get the voluntary consent of the client. And many women don't. Many times they don't screen for forced abortion. And I remember the first time I ever had to call the police outside a clinic. We were trying to help a young woman, a teenager, and I told her we could help her, but we have to have permission and to intervene. And she said, no, I think I can do it. But she never called me back and said, my mom's changed her mind, I'm keeping the baby. So I went to the abortion clinic. She told me when and where it was going to be. And I stood out there and I sort of said, hey, I'm making up a name. Sally, is that you? And she said, yes, it's me. And I'm Alan Parker. I'm the lawyer. I've been talking to you on the phone. Can I help you? Do you want me to help you? And she said, I don't want this abortion, but I can't fight my mother. And right then her mother came out and said, what's wrong with you? She said, who are you? What are you doing? I said, ma'am, I represent thousands of women hurt by abortion. I don't want your daughter to be one of those women. And she said, I think I ought to call the police. And I said, ma'am, I think you're right. And she stormed off. She was mad. But I called the police and I said, this is a forced abortion. I believe a forced abortion is occurring right here because the girl told me, I don't want this abortion, but I can't fight my mother. And that is not voluntary. The question is, whose will is being accomplished? Right there. She said, it's not me. I don't want this. And the police came out. I identified myself And they went in and they stopped, came back out and said, there'll be no abortion today. We're going to get Child Protective Services involved in this. So they saved that girl. So that's why we then put it into a letter for the police what the law is. Because sadly, another case I could tell you about, Janet, was in Laredo, Texas. A woman called us and said, hey, a young girl I know is texting me that her parents are about to force her to take the abortion pill. And I said, well, you got to call the police immediately. There's no way we can get involved. Call the police, report it, give them the address. Tell them to go out and stop this. First of all, think about what's going on. The parents are practicing medicine without a license. Number two, they're forcing someone to take a medicine against their will. Parents don't have the right to do that. And even though we're a parents' rights organization, it's like you couldn't tell your daughter, go steal the neighbor's computers because we need money, or go do drugs. You can't do illegal things. So, but unfortunately, she called me back and said, the police said they can't do anything about it. And so then I said, I'll call the supervisor. So I called the supervisor, I explained the law. And about 5 or 6 hours later, the police got there and it was too late. So that's why we developed the Dear Parent letter, the Dear Police letter, telling them that they have to stop it. And in 37 states, like Texas, killing a child in the womb without the mother's consent is actually fetal homicide, murder under state law. Texas is one of those states. But even in the states like us that have fetal homicide, it has to say it's not a murder if it's the woman with the requisite consent hiring a medical professional to perform an abortion. Unfortunately, we have to have that because of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. But it's just a terrible tragedy. But these tools work. Now, like Joseph Parker, the pastor, telling us he used it, we estimate we're saving 1,000 to 2,000 lives a year across the country, mostly because of the training of pregnancy centers. But Allison would like to train youth groups. And if people have a youth group and want us to do a training, high school students can use these letters. They can use the Absolutely. Dear Parent letter, the Dear Counselor letter, and the Dear Police letter. And you can be empowered to stop the murder, the legalized killing of an infant in the womb.
Right. And, you know, the police is a very good point, because I know for a fact, being out in front of an abortion clinic, I've been out in front of them all over the country, actually all over the world. And very often, the police don't even know all the rules about, like, the rights of the sidewalk counselors and the rights of. And so you're so correct, Alan, in saying this Dear Police letter is so important. Because the police, you know, most of the time they're pretty cooperative. They want to enforce the law as they know it. But a lot of them think abortion is 100% A-OK no matter what, because it's the law of the land, as they put it. And so they innocently help cooperate with the parent who's trying to force the kid. So these letters, I think, are so, so very important, getting the word out there. But in addition to the pregnancy centers, I'm just thinking sidewalk counselors should have these letters, because they're the ones that are physically standing right on the front lines. Yes. And, you know, I'll never forget, this goes all the way back into 1990, when Father Pavone was my parish priest. Operation Rescue was going to do a rescue out in Levittown, New York. They invited Father and I to come and observe, see what this was like. And we would like you to be sidewalk counselors, which we had done already. So we were sidewalk counseling. It was early in the morning. And of course, the Operation Rescue people, they were chaining themselves to the door of the clinic, the kind of things they used to do to shut the clinic down that day. Well, we're out in the perimeter here of the place, of the parking lot, where the people would be coming to go into the clinic to get an abortion. And Alan and Allison, it's still seared in my mind. I saw a father had his daughter by the wrist like this, dragging her out of the car, heading to the abortion clinic. Now he sees all the police and the confusion, the clinic's closed. He turns to me and Father Frank and says, what have you people done? My daughter has to get in there today. And I was like, oh my goodness, he's forcing this young girl to have an abortion. I mean, I actually saw this in action. And then Father and I just, we politely said, Well, sir, you know, she doesn't have to. First of all, she can't get in there today because of what's happening. But we know right here up the street, there's a pregnancy resource center. First of all, could just even see that if your daughter even have a viable pregnancy, you can have a free pregnancy. This will cost you nothing. Don't go away so angry. He said, you people, and he cursed at us, grabbed her and kind of basically threw her back in the car. And to me, when you say forced abortion, that whole scene replays in my mind over and over again. Yeah. That I'm sure that father had her back the following day or two to get that abortion. And so I want people to understand, we're not making this up. I've seen it with my own eyes. It does happen. Of course, back then, there wasn't, I don't think, a Justice Foundation. There wasn't a Dear Parent letter or nothing. But I'm so grateful that you've come up with this, because I can see how this will definitely save lives. And you know what's the ironic thing is that, you know, I know this because of my work with abortion recovery. It's ironic. This parent is doing what they think is best for their daughter, but they're killing their own grandchild too. And that they're gonna, in time, come to regret what they've done to themselves. Killing your own grandchild, and then they're going to watch the behavior, as we know from the testimonies, Alan, of the women hurt by abortion. They're going to see their daughter's life change. She's never going to be the same after that abortion, right?
And they may be destroying their relationship with their own daughter because of that action. Exactly.
And
go ahead, Allison.
I was going to say, I actually have a story about that from last week. We are working at the CareNet conference and, again, equipping pregnancy resource centers with their tools and telling them about the new Dear Student letter. And this pregnancy resource center came up to us and they said, your letters, not just one, all of your letters helped save a life, you know, a few months ago. And she basically said they're in a small little town in Texas and they had a very, very prominent just a prominent couple who had a minor daughter who was pregnant and she didn't want the abortion at all. And so they actually gave her the website and she read all of our letters and they worked directly with the pregnancy center to equip her with all of these. And so she basically, they had, and Alan can go into more detail about this, but we have a Dear Abortionist letter now, and or a letter to the abortionist. And it basically has her sign this letter saying, I'm being forced against my will to have this abortion. And so what they basically did is they emailed and faxed this letter to all of the abortion clinics in their area. And so these parents took their daughter, and after the fourth or fifth abortion clinic that basically wouldn't touch her, they were going to fly her to a different state to have this abortion. And so this brave young girl, they ended up stopping at a restaurant before going to the airport. And so she used a payphone and she called the police and basically told the police that her parents were forcing her to have a medical procedure that she didn't want to have. And so the police came and they handled it really well. And, you know, no one was led away with handcuffs, but now the baby's alive and the grandparents are just shocked with realizing the level and the depths that they were about to take to kill their own grandchild. And so that pregnancy resource center basically used every single one of our letters to stop that, to stop the abortion at almost every sphere of society.
That's great, Allison, really is great. And then just for a minute, Alan, let's just focus for a minute on the safe haven laws, because, you know, that is just something that it's legal in all 50 states, right?
Yes.
And what it really says is if a woman gives birth or a young teenager to a baby, even if she takes that baby home for a few days or a week and says, I can't handle this, they literally can take that baby to what is it, the nearest fire or police department, and just surrender the baby. No questions asked, no paperwork, nothing, right? So describe it in a little bit more legal detail, Alan.
Thank you. This is an option that every woman in America has. And in fact, this is a discussion that should be presented to women in need because they need to know it. But in the overall abortion discussion, safe haven eliminates the need for abortion for every woman in America, except perhaps to save the life of the mother, and all our laws have that exception. But the safe haven allows a woman to safely surrender her baby to a state-designated place within a state-designated period. So it's usually hospitals or fire stations within either 3 days or 30 days or 60 days or 90 days after birth. The state law varies, but basically it lets the woman have the entire period of time of her pregnancy to decide what she wants to do. And maybe early on she thinks, oh, I could never take care of a baby. Maybe I won't have a job. But then by the time the baby's there, she has a job, she's happy, she's grown to love the baby, she wants to keep the baby, that's her choice. But if she can't take care of the baby or she doesn't want to parent it, she can simply leave the hospital and leave the baby there. Or like in Texas, I'll use that, we have 60 days. She can go home with the baby, see if she wants to take care of the baby, but she has 60 days to safely surrender it at a fire station or emergency services, EMS, or hospital area, and the state will take care of it. So if you're talking to someone, again, who's considering an abortion, this is one of their options. And if she's poor, so to put it in the big debate, let me say this, should Roe v. Wade be reversed? Yes, because it kills a human being. Two, it hurts women. And three, though, is there's a better alternative today in every state. A woman doesn't have to pay for an expensive abortion. She doesn't have to go to another state. If she's low income, the state will pay all her medical bills. And that when the baby's in the womb, that's all the cost there is. You don't need diapers. You don't need anything for the baby. You just need to take care of yourself. If you're low income, the state will do that through Medicaid in every state. And then she can safe haven the baby.
All right. So, Alan, what's the website they can go to download and get all these letters? Where exactly can they get them?
TheJusticeFoundation.org. TheJusticeFoundation.org, or Google the Justice Foundation and they'll find it.
That's perfect. Perfect. Well, you know, Allison and Alan, thank you so much for this great information. Brothers and sisters, I mean, come on. We all need to get involved. I want you to go to thejusticefoundation.org, go to their website, look up forced abortion on their website, download those letters. But then I want you to do another thing. I want you to contact every person you know on your Facebook, on your email list. Get the word out there. Like, you know, instead of a Christmas card, why don't you send them the links to this information? Because you know something, brothers and sisters, there are some abortions only you will be able to stop, and some lives only you will be able to save. So join us again next time on Just Ask Janet. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.